to the Fantasy Footballers DFS Podcast with your hosts, Kyle Borgannoni and Matthew Betts.
Welcome in, one and all, to another edition of the Fantasy Footballers DFS Podcast. I am your host, Kyle Borgannoni, and I'm here, as always, with Matthew. What am I doing to my wife this month, Betts? She's going to go crazy.
Yeah, man. It is about to be wild times here in the Betts household. In about 2 weeks, I'll be officially entering dad life. We're currently also in the middle of selling our house. So the house is on the market as we speak. So we're trying to sell a house, figure out how to be parents, buy a new house, move, and also, you know, do a lot of basketball drafts. So it's just crazy, man. My wife's a saint. She deals with a lot with me. So shout out to her. She's a true, like, she's so strong for what she's been going through. Like, if that was me, not a chance I could do it. I'm so soft.
She's putting the entire Betts team on her back.
Oh, yeah.
On her belly. She is basically the one that's really bringing this thing to an end. And you're just along for the ride. I get it. I did share with you that my wife, when she was giving birth to our second, she broke her foot that month, and it was the same month we were selling our house. So we're in the kind of the same boat. So if you want to, Monica can just break her foot and she can even it out.
I mean, yeah, I feel like if you want to live up to the Borgogan here, the hype from the Borgogans, you got to break your foot and go into labor. I mean, that's the way to do it, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty hype around here. I put this out on social media, but Houston just... he just finished kindergarten, so we're feeling pretty pumped about the summer. And, you know, there's a lot of haters out there that said Houston wasn't going to do it, but he did. And with kindergarten, it's kind of like, did you just kind of stay alive and keep going? Like, that's really the bare minimum.
Did you show
for
up?
Kindergarten. Yeah, he did show up, and he made it. So we got a first grader on our hands. We're excited for the summer. We got a lot of great things coming out. You and I have been working through a lot of content for the Ultimate Draft Kit, the Ultimate Draft Kit Plus, including our best ball rankings and best ball primer. I'm just teasing this right now. Next week, you and I are going to get into some best ball content before. So a little, you know, a little teaser for the people that just can't get enough. On June 1st is when all of those rankings come out. And then you and I spend June, July prepping people of strategies about best ball, the best way to handle stacking strategies, some of our dart throws, some of our league winners. Talk about win rates. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff. So anything you want to say about best ball before we get into this episode?
I mean, as the name implies, it is the best. I love best ball season. Speaking of stacking, Kyle, I'm really excited this summer to talk about, you know, like, everyone knows at this point, if you're not stacking in best ball, like, you're just lighting your money on fire. But, like, should we be taking stacking to the next level? Should we be stacking if our quarterback isn't there? Should we be stacking week 17 if you're playing in a tournament to try to game stack like we would in DFS? So there's just so much more to this, layers to unpack, basically, or to get into with best ball. So, man, this summer is going to be wild, and I'm excited, man. I love it.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of different articles that come out, and I wanted to get into a quick question. This episode, we're going to be talking about NFC win totals. Last week was AFC. There's some teams that I'm really excited about, but the quick question I have is, give me a team that you are interested as a value stack for best ball. Meaning, when you look at the ADP, you look at these players, and you kind of see, here's an outcome for this team that's not really baked into their price that I like. And I'll let you go first. Your answer's gross.
Yeah, apparently just bring on the pain with me. My answer here is the New York Football Giants. Yes, the team that ran a quarterback sneak at their own 4-yard line just to be able to punt on fourth down. That's the team I'm in on in best ball stacks for value. And really the crux of the argument here is that no one wants these guys. And so if you're looking at value, you know, this is not the team that everyone is excited to draft for obvious reasons. But when you're looking at value, I mean, all these guys, there isn't a single player on here that's going in the first two rounds of drafts. The first player off the board is Saquon Barkley, who I absolutely love at his ADP as a bounce back spot. And so I'm just saying, if you find yourself taking Saquon Barkley in the third round, which I think based off the depth chart of Matt Breida being the only guy there behind him, Saquon's going to get a ton of volume this year and everyone's down on him because of injury concerns from the last 2 years. If he has a bounce back spot, let's say you take Saquon and then all of a sudden you're sitting there, you're in the 10th round and you're like, hey, There's Kadarius Toney just sitting there. Oh, remember Kenny Golladay from last year when he was like a sixth round pick? He's in the 11th round. And so I'm just saying, like, if you fall into the stack with the Giants, it really could go okay, especially when you turn around and you get Daniel Jones in the 15th round. We're going to talk about the Giants. I like their over on their win total here. We're going to talk about that in detail. But look at what was there with the coaching staff. Look at what now is there in Brian Daboll. They're going to throw the crap out of the football, and all these guys are being left for dead in best ball. So I'm a sucker for pain, apparently. Give me the Giants as a value stack this year.
I'm excited to talk about the Giants. We've kind of hinted at them a couple of times this offseason. I mentioned, I believe, in one of our bold or cold sections about Saquon as somebody who's just criminally going, I think, undervalued. I get it. You probably felt the pain the last couple of years, but I like the Giants as a long shot bet in the NFC East, which we'll talk about. I'm going to throw out the Vikings. I feel like there's another team that I have a soft spot for in the division, and I like some of their playoff odds. But let's talk about them from a best ball perspective. You know the names at the top. Justin Jefferson, right now his ADP is 5.5. He's the wide receiver 3 off the board after Kupp and Ja'Marr Chase. So you'd have to pay up for him or pay up for Dalvin, who's really going at the end of the first round. But after that, you get to go all the way to Adam Thielen in the mid-7th round. That just feels like there's a lot of value on a team that has a balanced offense. Like, we've always liked him. Last year, Dalvin caught the wrong side of touchdowns, where, you know, just in terms of his rushing touchdown was so different than what it was the previous 2 years. I just think there's a lot in this offense that we like. We think Kirk Cousins is an efficient quarterback. He doesn't need volume. And the ancillary pieces are so cheap. Like I mentioned, let's say you miss out on Justin Jefferson. I have a team right now that has Dalvin. I was able to get Thielen and Cousins. And then I don't mind throwing in KJ Osborne at the very end. He's going off the board at wide receiver 70. That's a team that their offense is good enough, and they were put in a lot of situations last year where they were in one-score games that pushed the tempo. They also have a pretty great playoff schedule, including the Packers towards the end of the season, that I think would be a shootout. So the Vikings are a team that I think, once you move past Jefferson and Cook, I think there's just too large of a gap.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it kind of seems like you could just say that every year about Adam Thielen. You know, no one wants him. He's getting older. And everything that we say about him is like, well, he may not explode the way Justin Jefferson does. And that's fine, because that's probably true. But for best ball, when you're looking at touchdowns matter so much, he and Kirk just have that connection around the goal line. And, you know, it would not shock me again if he comes out and puts up 8 or 9 touchdowns this year, and all of a sudden he's a guy with a high win rate because his value is so good. His ADP has dropped so far. So, yeah, man, I like the Vikings a lot. We're going to talk about them here in a couple minutes.
Yeah, Thielen's going off the board wide receiver 38. So I think that's a little bit further than what his touchdown equity has shown in the past. If you looked on social media, you saw that it was littered with people mowing the lawn based on what we talked about this past week. And so we wanted to pick out two winners of people that were listening to DFS Pod while mowing the lawn. You might be one of those people right now. You're listening in. You're saying, hey, I'm mowing the lawn. Feel free to send that in. Maybe Betts will be feeling generous. He also might be a father by the time that you hear this. But two winners, want to shout those names out. Cam Stoyles at EchoFox82 was rocking the cargo shorts in a short little mini vid.
Oh, that, yeah, bonus nice points for the video for sure.
And then Allison Arth at Allison Arth on Twitter, riding lawnmower and the Colts sun hat. That's a good combo.
Yeah, the bucket hat, if you will. You don't see those much these days, but I like that quite a bit.
Yeah, so my son calls this sometimes mow lawners instead of lawnmowers. And so I really was tripped up the entire time trying to figure out how to write this. I do want to give an honorable mention. Okay, so those two, Cam and Allison, we're going to be sending you some footballer swag. I did want to throw out there very close, Jeremy at JLMax09. He sent us a picture of his dog chewed Crocs. That's pretty elite.
Yeah, that was a very, very close third. I mean, that's impressive to have that commitment level, you know, that you're still rocking those Crocs even when your dog's chewed through them. So yes, shout out to Jeremy. That's great.
I'm a big Crocs fan. I will say that at one point in my life, I was a senior in high school. My sister was a freshman. We were the only people in our high school. And, you know, I graduated with 500, 600 kids in my class. We were the only people with Crocs in our entire high school. So we liked them before they were cool, but then they weren't cool. But now they're kind of coming back to being cool.
Dude, you're there asking the wrong person. I've never owned a pair of Crocs. I don't plan to own a pair of Crocs. Maybe I should, though. I don't know if that's part of dad duty, but I've never been a Croc guy, personally.
Well, now I know what to get you as a gift when you become a father. That's very, very clear. And yes. Yeah, if you really want to win some points with Monica, put some socks on, put some Crocs on, and you'll be rocking some babies.
I love it.
I need a picture of that. But let's get into the NFC. We'll be talking about the win totals and who we like.
We're going to win. We're going to win!
So last week we talked about the AFC. We also talked about that conference being a bit tougher to project in the sense of we like the unders. There's a lot of teams that are elevated in terms of their win totals. We talked about that AFC West being a tough division. The NFC is a different story. It's a weaker conference, and there's some divisions that I think are just up in the air. Like, I think the NFC, which we'll talk, NFC East, which we'll talk about first, like, I could see a route for any four of those teams to win. Like, I don't think Washington has quite a ceiling, but all four of those teams are in play, and I think you can say that with some of these divisions. So NFC is a little bit more interesting, but since we last talked, you and I have looked at some of these bets that have been flying off the board. So why don't you read through bets overall that you would say, this is what people are betting, this is what they're saying, and really quickly, let's talk about if we like them or not.
Yeah, so this is according to BetMGM, their sports book. Here are the top five most bet win totals currently in the NFL. Number one is the Jets over 5.5. Number two, the Lions over 6.5. Those two just sound terrifying when you're talking about overs on those teams. Steelers over 7.5. Number four, the Eagles over 8.5. That has since moved. And the Cowboys under 10.5.
So that's four overs right there. And I think you can also correlate the Eagles overs with the Cowboys unders in terms of what people are feeling. That terrifies me that when I look at these teams, the public is betting the overs on them. And the lines have moved in a place where now I'm interested in maybe taking some of the unders.
Yeah, when we were talking yesterday, and I was like, man, I like this, I like this, I like this. And then I looked at this and I found this information and I was like, oh no, I'm part of the public. Like, that just is absolutely terrifying, because there's a reason that in sports betting, you know, people will say, like, just fade whatever the public is on. And yeah, you're going to lose sometimes, but long run, you're going to probably benefit because, again, Vegas is very good at what they do. And so if you're on Vegas' side, good chance that you actually win. So we'll talk about it, but I like the Lions. There's a lot of reasons to get excited about the Eagles, and there's a lot of concerns with the Cowboys. So those three for the NFC for me are tricky. We did talk last week about the Jets. I said, I think the over 5.5 is right, but it was, when we talked, it was minus 145. And to me, I'm not laying minus 145 juice with Zach Wilson. No, thank you. Especially considering that that's the most bet sports total out there right now.
This is where we are. 2022, the Jets being the team that people are betting on. I can't wait till we talk about the Lions, because I have the exact opposite opinion of you, where I am saying the Lions are popular. That's not a good place to be, people. Like, that's a crazy train. So let's start in the NFC East. Now, keep in mind, people, that of the two of us, there's one of us that is very invested in this division, that loves his team, and I respect that Betts loves the Eagles. They shocked me this past year, but I will try to give some good analysis here while Betts gives his trash Eagles takes.
Dude, say what you want. I've always been non-partial to the Eagles when I give my takes. That said, in my simulations, they win the Super Bowl 98% of the time this year. I'm just saying. That's just what the simulations say. That's not a fan. That's just what they say.
You've always been a numbers guy, so I gotta go with that too. So NFC East, let's go through the win totals really quick. Dallas Cowboys started at 10.5 on DK Sportsbook, went down to 10. The Eagles started at 8.5, went up to 9.5. Washington started at 7.5, now they're at 8. And the Giants are still there at 7, although they're 7.5 on FanDuel Sportsbook. So there's been a lot of movement in this division, because I think there's parity here. But let's start with the Cowboys. They went 12-5 this past year. They had the hardest strength of schedule in football, according to Pro Football Reference. But only three of those 12 wins came against playoff teams, right? They beat the Eagles twice, and they beat New England. They had a lot of games where they scored a ton of points. Like, if you remember this team, like, you and I had a bet this past year that the Cowboys would be the highest scoring team in football. We got good odds, and we cashed on that one. That looked great. The problem is that the team was just kind of fortunate in terms of how they scored. Like in fantasy, I know that we're talking about wagering and betting here. Although they scored the most points in the league, all of their top players failed to return their ADP. Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, Blake Jarwin, all those players were overdrafted, technically. So if you invested in the Cowboys last year, yes, they hit their win total. Yes, they were the highest scoring team in the league. But I think the biggest story about this team is they overperformed on defense in terms of turnovers and points off of turnovers. So knowing all of that, how are you handling this team? Because I would just say that they were good, but not great, and then exposed in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's the perfect way to summarize it, and especially what you talked about on the defensive side of the ball. Like, when you think about the general public and how they view the defense for the Dallas Cowboys, it's highlight reel plays with Micah Parsons, who he is amazing, don't get me wrong, and Trayvon Diggs with interceptions. But when you look at, like, PFF grade and coverage ratings and things like that, like, Trayvon Diggs was not that good in terms of coverage. He just had a lot of turnovers, and we know that is not sticky year over year. So they lose Randy Gregory in free agency off the edge. You know, the turnovers aren't sticky year to year. I'm looking to fade that narrative with the Cowboys. And then on offense, like, the offensive line got worse. Amari Cooper is a big deal for this team. Losing him and just replacing him with James Washington and, you know, Tolbert as a rookie, like, there's a lot of ways things can go south for the Cowboys. So I think their win total, while it does seem fair to have them around 10 wins, on FanDuel at 10.5, I am strongly considering the under over there.
The hardest part about the Cowboys' schedule is their first place games are against the Bengals and Buccaneers at home, and then the Rams on the road. So we would say those are pretty tough games, but it really evens out when you look at the divisions they play. The NFC East this year plays the NFC North and the AFC South. So you're talking home games against the Bears and Lions and the Texans, and then road games against, you know, easier competition like the Jaguars. So this schedule, to me, says this is a 10-win team. And when I look at their sports book, it's like, dang, that's dead on right now.
Yep. It does feel right at 10. What are your thoughts on the 10.5, though, on FanDuel?
I could see a route to taking the under. Just with this team, they're a bit more fragile than we think. Like, they're the favorites, yes, but the odds have moved so much recently that they're no longer, you know, minus 110 to win the division. They're at plus 130, and the Eagles have improved enough where I just look at this division, and because of the way I feel about the other three teams, I can't make that divisional bet. So I would take the under on FanDuel, but on DraftKings, I'd probably stay away.
Yep, I think I'm with you.
All right, so let's talk about your Eagles. I'll just say this.
Oh, what an offseason.
I'll let you say what you want to say. This is mostly a stay away from me because they've received a ton of hype and their win total's been elevated in the last couple of weeks to a place where, okay, 9.5 wins. They were 10-7 this past year. I'm off them as a team in general because of the way the public feels. They also play, so of their 8 road games, half of them are on a short week. This is according to Warren Sharp. So they play some tough games when you just factor in the way that their schedule falls. And if this somehow gets up to 10, I will gladly take, you know, the under on that. But this is a team that I think overachieved last year, in my opinion.
No, they definitely did for sure. I remember we talked about it last year. You were on their under on their win total. I said they were a long shot to have a top 2 pick in the NFL draft. Obviously, that worked out. As a fan, better than what I thought was going to happen. So I agree. I think they overachieved. And it's scary that the public is on the over here. That's really what my pause and concern is. But you also can say, okay, I know why that's the case. You know, they trade for A.J. Brown, who's a superstar. You have Devonta Smith in year 2. The offensive line is still good. They're being aggressive with Jalen Hurts on a rookie deal. That's how you win in the NFL. They just signed James Bradbury. Like, there's a lot of things that are going well. That said, with all the steam in the betting markets on this team, you can't touch it from where they were 2 months ago. Like, before the draft, if you got there over, you should feel like very excited about that bet. But right now, with where it is, how much money is coming in on the under, I'd be very concerned to buy in to this team at their odds right now, especially on their win total. So I think it's a no bet for me on their win total as of today. Even, honestly, the division. Like, at plus 190 compared to where it was, you could have gotten this at plus 350 before the NFL draft. That's a ton of movement, like way too much for me to feel comfortable. So I think right now I'm off this team. I did get them at plus 275 right after the AJ Brown trade. So that feels okay. But it's tough to buy into a team like this when there's so much hype from the public right now.
So I mentioned earlier their road schedule and how they have some short weeks involved. They do have a gift because some of their road games include the Bears, Lions, and Texans. Texans are one of those short weeks. So I want to temper our expectations. I think that this is a floor. They have an 8-win floor, in my opinion, because of, you know, their division. I think that Jalen Hurts can return the same value. I think it's a different conversation for fantasy in terms of his ceiling and how he's going to improve as a passer and all that. So it's an interesting team. There's pieces that I can't wait to talk about for best ball. I've mentioned Miles Sanders before. I really like Devonta Smith still. Like, I don't think we need to just throw him away because A.J. Brown's there. So, yeah, I think the Eagles are going to be a team we talk about a lot for DFS purposes. Let's move on. Two more teams here, the NFC East. And these are teams that I think are undervalued. Let's start with Washington. I already took Washington over 7.5 wins on DK. And no big deal, but it moved.
No big deal. Moving the lines is what we do. I remember that episode. We talked about that right before the NFL draft. And I think I remember our conversation was largely around, like, just this number feels too low. We're not saying they're a team that can compete in the playoffs or anything like that. But if they came out and won 8 or 9 games, no one will be shocked. And I think that's still the case. Now, that said, because it's already at 8, for me, this is a no bet. And the reason I say that is because you're investing in Carson Wentz in a market that's already moved in his direction, which is absolutely terrifying to say. So I think I'm off this bet. I think the line is just right. And so for me, it's a no play.
Yeah, I felt good that I got it before. Their strength of schedule is much easier. Their hardest games are actually at home if you walk through their schedule. And I think they have a safe floor. So listen to these games that are not even in division. You know, let's say they get 2 or 3 wins in division. So they play the Falcons. End of story. We can just say that. They play the Falcons and Jaguars at home. And then on the road, they play the Lions, Bears, and Texans. So I think that there's a floor here of, you know, 5.5, 6 wins. And then depending on what they do in the division, I think that there's enough there for me to say that there was value on the over. But let's go to the Giants. We teased them earlier. I've already placed them in a couple different places in terms of their over. I also love their long shot odds for NFC East. Right now, it's actually improved to +900, which I think is the best odds you're going to find of any team that could actually win the division, although you might feel different about the Lions in a second. But talk to me about the Giants and your boy Daniel Jones.
No, I think that's a good value bet. Even if it's not likely to hit, obviously, it's a long shot. And so that's a pretty interesting little sprinkle. You know, you don't put a lot, you just a little sprinkle on that one. I think that's pretty interesting because the division is weak and there are outs for the Cowboys, the I almost said the football team, the Manders, and my Eagles to not be as good as people think they might be. So, yeah, here's what it comes down to for the Giants. So, like, for the first time in a long time, they actually have a plan, right? Like, Dave Gettleman is gone. The coaching staff upgrade cannot be overstated how much of a difference Joe Judge and Jason Garrett not being there is a win for the Giants. It's insane what they were last year. So, that alone, for a team, I think last year their win total was 6.5, and Vegas is telling us that they're only going up by half a win in what they're projected. It feels too low for what they should be. So I'm with you. I like the over on their win total because we talked about they get that soft matchup against the AFC South. They're in division schedule. There's winnable games against these teams. And like I said, for the first time in a while, they actually have a direction of where they're going with Brian Daboll. So I like the over there for the Giants.
Warren Sharp has them as the easiest strength of schedule. Their fourth place games, I think, are winnable, including Carolina and at Seattle. So, yeah, the Giants don't seem like a team that you want to, you know, jump on board because of how bad they were. But I just take all of their statistics from last year and I just throw them in the garbage because they don't matter. They literally do not matter in terms of what the coaching staff was doing, their players getting hurt. So I think the Giants are an undervalued team. Does it terrify me to be on the Giants? Yes, but as a long shot, I think you could do worse than that.
Yeah, right, if we just get replacement level play from Daniel Jones, like, we're not saying he has to be good. If he's just middle of the road, this team will be better than 7 wins.
What percentage chance do you give him to be replacement level? I'm asking myself that question. I don't know.
I never really thought about it, to be honest. I don't know. 45?
Yeah, I was 45%? Saying my floor is like 30, 33%. here's the thing. This is a maybe a question more on Brian Daboll. Is that is it weird to be able to say that much about a new coach coming in and him being the savior for somebody who they didn't pick up their fifth-year option?
Well, I think it's a smart move maybe to not do that because it gives them an out for Daniel Jones, which the Panthers did not do with Sam Darnold. They went all in, and now they look silly for doing that. So I think it's smart from the organization.
Yeah. I just – this team has to be better than 4-13, right?
They have to be. Like, yeah. If they won four games last year with that team, that is just insane. Yeah, they're this is my favorite bet, I think, in the division.
Yeah, and we also liked what they did in the draft, Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal. So, yeah, the Giants, if they can create some pass rush, like, on their defense, and they can actually get competent quarterback play, I think that they are in line. All right, before we get into the other divisions, let's take a quick break. All right, we're about to jump into the next couple divisions, and I want to just caution you because Betts and I are going to give out two teams coming up. I'm not going to give you – this is your warning. This is it. That's all I'm telling you. So if you're mowing the lawn, you are rocking a baby in the middle of the night, whatever you're doing, without warning, I'm just going to let it fly that these are the teams that you and I are all about and all about their win totals. So no warning. It'll just happen. I warned you. All right. NFC North, we have the Green Bay Packers at 11 wins, the Vikings at 9, the Bears started at 7, was bet down to 6.5, and Betts' Lions, somehow they become his team, started at 6, now bet up to 6.5. The popular Lions, as they all say. Let's start at the top with the Packers, who have been awesome in the regular season the last 2 years. I'm not that interested in them from a win totals perspective.
Yeah, it's so scary to say because we know what they can be and we know how good Aaron Rodgers has been. But like just looking at the depth chart, it gives you such an uneasy feeling about this team. Like Devonta Adams accounts for 35% of the yards, over 30% of the targets, over 30% of the touchdowns for this team. Like is Christian Watson and Randall Cobb at 32 years old going to fill that void? I have serious concerns about that type of stuff. And Sammy Watkins might not even make the roster. There was a report in The Athletic that he's on the bubble already, and it's May. So, like, how is it happening? Is this team going to try to win with defense and with Aaron Rodgers just saving them? Like, that can work, but we also seen with the Seattle Seahawks when they try to do that with Russell Wilson, if it doesn't happen, the bottom falls out very quickly. So this feels like a very, very scary over to take. So I'm definitely not touching that. I think under 11 is very much in play. If it gets down to 10.5 or for whatever reason gets to 10, like for me, that would definitely be a no bet. But I think there is some value here on under 11.
Yeah, their schedule doesn't set up super well. I think that when you look at some of their first place games, not easy. Tampa Bay, look at Los Angeles, you look at the Titans, like that's not good. Their rest differential, this is something you brought up to me that we've talked about a little bit, but Warren Sharp pointed this out. Their bye week also is week 14. That is so late in the season. So if you're looking at a major injury to one of their key players, you are also looking at a spot where this team is going to just be limping towards the end of the year. I would just say this is a team that I want to stay away from in the futures market. So NFC and Super Bowl, like I don't even want to touch it because I feel like it's going to change. We've seen that a lot with Aaron Rodgers, actually, where slow start, remember last year, week one, they were destroyed by the Saints. And then also MVP odds, like he wasn't the favorite until the last 3 weeks of the season. So keep in mind about the Packers, the flow of their season. They're a team that I just want to stay away from. And I do need to mention, Betts and I are pretty hot and heavy for Aaron Jones in everywhere, every single market. He might be, other than Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, the team that are Ravens, can we just call him our Aaron Jones?
Oh, everyone I feel like on the Ballers team is in on Aaron Jones this year. The splits without Devonta Adams in the lineup are insane. So don't hear what we're not saying. We think this team might not be as good as what Vegas is saying. That does not mean we are shying away from Aaron Jones at his third round ADP in best ball. Absolutely silly. It will not be that way in August. So if you're interested in drafting all summer, now is the time to get yourself some Aaron Jones and best ball.
I think he catches 70, 75 balls at least.
I mean, where do the vacated targets go, Kyle?
They go to the running back position. That's where they see the biggest.
You're darn right they do.
What do they do in the playoffs with him, Betts?
Yeah, they gave him the ball.
They threw him the ball as much as possible. They just kept throwing him the ball.
Yeah.
So I just needed to say that. I almost withheld it from the people, but I just needed to gush before we got any further about how much of a value Aaron Jones is. We also like A.J. Dillon, too. So we're not saying you don't have to pick or choose. You can like both at their ADP.
I also will say, we're not talking awards on this show, but you and I, we did a little sprinkling today. We sprinkled a little bit on our boy Aaron Jones. Offensive player of the year. This man currently has the same odds to win this award as your boy, Odell Beckham Jr., who is not going to play a full season. As your boy, Raheem Mostert, who based off recent history, will not play a full season. His teammate, Randall Cobb, Curtis Samuel, Russell Gage, DJ Chark, Marcus Mariota, all have the same odds as Aaron Jones to win Offensive Player of the Year. Are you kidding me? That is the easiest bet in the history of man. Even if it doesn't actually cash, the fact that DK priced him so inappropriately makes this a bet you have to feel excited about.
I love that when you messaged me this earlier, when you're looking at the odds, like Kadarius Toney has these odds. Randall Cobb one just like threw me for a loop. Like there is a 0% chance that Randall Cobb comes anywhere close to Offensive Player of the Year. I don't even know why they'd even put that out there. So he's at plus 10,000 on DraftKings Sportsbook. And I was going through scenarios in my head. 20 touchdowns is not out of the realm of possibility for Aaron Jones. 70 plus catches is there. So long shot bet, and it's a running back, and I get it. But man, if he has an outlier season, I'll take it. So Aaron Jones for the win.
Yeah, let's just for perspective, you put $100 on it, you're winning 10 grand. That's the odds. That's a long shot here. It's clearly not likely, but man, that price just felt too good to pass up.
Yeah, I mean, you put 10 grand on it, so that's way more.
That's right, yeah.
All right, a couple more teams here in the NFC North. I'm pretty bullish on this team, the Vikings. I mentioned them at the top of the show. I have them to win the NFC North on DK. I had them at plus 300, and then I also placed it on FanDuel at plus 340, and the odds have moved since then. Last year, the Vikings, they played in one-score games in 14 of their first 15 games. That's an all-time record for one-possession games. So they finished 8-9. I think they were super unfortunate. And if I'm down on the Packers, I still think the Packers are the favorite to win this division, then I'm going to jump in the boat with the Vikings, and maybe they hit the other side of variance here. So I think the Vikings are set up, second-place schedule. I know that you're not as bullish as me.
Well, yes and no. So I like the bet that you made. Like, I like the NFC North division win. That makes a lot of sense. I think there's a ton of value on that. I find it tough on their win total. I'm just not necessarily sold on the over. Like, if you're going to bet this team, I think that what you're saying is, the Packers aren't as good as what maybe people think they are. And somehow they have a 10-win season or a 9-win season instead of the 11 or 12 that Vegas is projecting. And all of a sudden, the Vikings kind of sneak in as the winner. So I could see that path versus wanting to be in on a team that currently is set at over 9 wins. So I guess I'm not necessarily out on the bet. I like it. I'm just not necessarily in on their win total.
Yeah, I can't see myself, like on FanDuel, to 8.5. If you want to take the over, I think that's totally fine. Let's say they get 9 wins and the Packers come in at 10 or 11. Totally understand that. But I think that among the division winners, I think there's a lot of value in there. And I think that they're a good team. I think they can put it together. All right, let's talk about this next team, the Chicago Bears. Money, 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 money.
That is right, people. That is right. If you want to be as rich as Brooks, you need to pause the podcast, you need to go to your sportsbook app, and you need to place this wager immediately. We're talking about the under on the Chicago Bears, and I hope people got this at 7 wins when it was there a few weeks ago. That was the best bet of the offseason, in my opinion. I don't think we're going to find another one that we feel as excited about as that. And it makes me very sad to say, because I like Justin Fields. But the reality is, this team is not set up to win in today's NFL. There's a report today that they want to be a running team. And it kind of makes sense. Maybe they want to hide, you know, the lack of playmakers that they have or whatever and win on defense. But how often does that win in today's NFL? Like, the Ravens can do it, sure. The Titans are okay at doing it, yeah. But this Bears team, man, is going to be atrocious. Like, I have them projected for about 4.5 wins. This is just insane value. So, to me, like, if you're going to place one wager from today's show, this is the one. I still think there's value even at 6.5, but at 7, it was just an automatic.
Yeah, at 7, it was our, I think it was our first primary slam dunk that you and I both said we're in. And I think most people around here, Andy, I feel bad for Bears fans because Andy has made a point to trash them repeatedly on our show about, you know, the weapons and who they have in front of them. I don't love a first-year head coach that's a defensive-minded guy. That's not a good setup with Matt Eberflus. And it's really hard when you walk through their schedule to find routes to over, you know, to 7 or more wins. So that's why I thought, I mean, when we got 7, that's great. And I don't mind the 6.5. I still love Justin Fields. I'll still defend him. He is one of 6 rookie quarterbacks, one of 6 since 2010, to average 35 rushing yards per game. The rest of that group is an elite crew. So I think we'll be talking about him in DFS as kind of a cheaper, you know, dart throw. But yes, this offense, if it doesn't unleash him, like, he had one game last year against the 49ers where he ran for over 100. He was a top 5 quarterback that week. And I thought, this is going to be it. He had injuries. But it really is just a bet on not just Justin Fields, but the rest of this team. So, yeah, this is the money bet for bets. This is the one that he really likes. Let's transition to the Lions. And I'm just going to ask why. Why do you like the Lions?
apparently, I am a psycho. That's why. Okay, so here's the argument for the Lions. And I can't say it without laughing, so that kind of tells you that it's a long shot. But I did take them to win the division at plus, or 11 to 1, plus 1,100 a couple weeks ago. It's now 10 to 1. So moving the lines, no big deal. And this is mostly a bet on fading Green Bay and Minnesota, who I think there are outs to in that division. So when you look at these teams, like, we both agree, and I think everyone with a pulse would agree, the Bears are not winning this division. So this automatically becomes a 3-horse race. And if we're saying that the Packers have flaws, there's paths to the Lions surprising people and just lucking their way into the right side of variance and finding a win in this division. So I think it's more of a bet on fading the other teams than it is on actually being very, very excited about this roster. That said, I do like what this team is doing. I think their young nucleus is awesome. Their offensive line is young. They obviously just took our boy Jameson Williams. They've got DeAndre Swift. You know, they've got Amon-Ra St. Brown, TJ Hockenson. Like, there's a lot of good things happening. And Dan Campbell is a guy that this team is going to play hard for. Last year, they were 4th in the NFL against the spread, which tells you that they are, you know, they're rallying around their head coach, which he's a fun guy to root for. And so I think there's just paths for this team outperforming what they're expected to do, which is why I took their long shot bet. I am worried now, however, that the public is also on this. So I think if you miss the best line, like, now is not the time to jump in. But I think this team could be more, you know, productive than people are giving them credit for.
They were better than what they were last year. Last year, they were 3-13-1. Their win expectation was over 5 wins. I'll give you that.
Dan Campbell cried on the podium. That's how much he cares. This team loves that dude. And that's because they lost so many close games. Do you remember that?
Oh, I care about Dan Campbell. He has my favorite nickname in the history of this show.
Yep.
Of the main show, Guns Mahoney. The first time I heard that, I literally spit out my coffee, and it's the one nickname that I will refer to every single time in our show docs. Love it. Guns Mahoney, perfect name for Dan Campbell. I also will be fading this team if they're getting popular. And I'm curious if under 6.5 is now in play for me. Their defense is my biggest question mark. Like, yes, they have some young, exciting players. They allowed the second most points in the league. They were 30th in Football Outsiders weighted DVOA this past year. And yes, they got Aiden Hutchinson, but I think there's a number of different holes, you know, in linebackers in the secondary. And I think teams are just gonna be able to throw on them all day. They could just do it all the time. I get it, Dan Campbell. He's our boy. I'm gonna be dressing up for him as Halloween. But yes, I am off the Lions if the public is on them.
Kyle, you're gonna have to get some arm days in, dude, if you're gonna dress up as Guns Mahoney.
I actually had this conversation with myself today, and I said, man, I'm going to have to buy one of those Muscle Man like costumes to really bolster up my Dan Campbell look. But maybe yes. That's what it is. It's just, I just need to bulk up for Dan.
Dude, you got to do it. You got to do it.
Bulk up for Guns Mahoney. All right, two more divisions. We're actually going to fly through the next one because it is a cakewalk in some respects, the NFC South. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are at 11.5. The Saints are at 8. The Panthers are at 6. And the Falcons have been bet down from 5.5 to 5. So, with the Buccaneers, clearly, they are heavy, heavy favorites in their own division, including minus 300. That's the best you're going to see out there in any division. Their conference odds, you and I have talked about because how weak the NFC is and how much it changed once Tom Brady came back. They have first place games against the Packers, the Chiefs, and at the Cowboys. But I just can't find myself going any other route than if I were to take this, I would take under 11.5. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's just a team that, in my opinion, you can't really touch their win total, and you can't really touch the division or them to make the playoffs. Like minus 650 to make the playoffs, it's just too much to lay. Minus 300, yeah, it seems obvious, but it's too much to lay. And then this is going to be a good team with Tom Brady. So taking an under is terrifying. It's kind of like what we talked about with the Bills. So there's no paths, in my opinion, outside of injury for any of these other three teams to win the division. So it's all a no bet for me on the Bucs. That said, I think Tom Brady for like MVP is interesting. I think if you want to put something on them to win the conference for the NFC at plus 330 is interesting. So if you want to invest in the Bucs, the way you do it is not their win total. In my opinion, it's more in these future markets.
All right. The Saints, I think, are one of the more undervalued teams across the board in different markets. You know, they started off 5-2 with Jameis Winston this past year before he went down and they were right on the doorstep of the playoffs. I don't mind their over on DraftKings at 8 because at least you have a push involved, but you've really liked their plus odds to make the playoffs.
Yeah, this is one that we talked about again before the NFL draft, and if people were listening at that time, I said, let's watch what they do in round one because at the time, there were still a lot of rumors about Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis maybe being landing spots there. In hindsight, the Malik Willis stuff looks crazy to even talk about him in the first round more, but at the time, there were some rumors that they might take a quarterback. And I said, if they take pieces to help them win right now, that I will be betting them to make the playoffs at plus 160, which they did. They took Chris Olave, and they took an offensive lineman as well. So they've addressed their areas of weakness. They also bring in Jarvis Landry, who's reliable. You insert Michael Thomas back into the lineup after getting one of the worst wide receiver rooms in the NFL a year ago. So I think in general, the area was pointing up on this team in just a very, very weak conference in the NFC. So I'm not saying they're going to win the division, but could they get in as a wild card? I absolutely think so, because we're going to talk about it. The Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons are, spoiler, not going to be very good.
Yeah, I would say Saints to make the playoffs is one of the better value bets right now. Plus 160, plus 150 is what it is now. Yeah, totally fine with that. Panthers were a team that I faded this past year, and it looked really scary when they started off 3-0, and Sam Darnold was good. The following week, week four, he was the quarterback one. So there was a stretch when Sam Darnold was the hotness. He is the hot farts right now, and he is not someone who is well-liked by his team, by anyone. Like, if you are a Sam Darnold truther, if you really believe in him, and I actually, like, held out hope, like, okay, him going to Carolina would be good. I'll draft him in best ball this past year. If you are someone that still believes in Sam Darnold, please talk to me. Talk to his mama, because she doesn't believe in that man anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, Sam.
Kyle.
So
the top rope, my gosh.
With the Panther. Well, this is what I've been stewing on, too, is like, man, Matt Corral, I hope he's their quarterback at some point. Like, do you think that Matt Corral is going to be the quarterback for this team by the end of the year?
As in, will he be the starting quarterback this year? Yes, absolutely. Yes. Which is why I think we're not going to talk really about the awards necessarily, but like, Sam Darnold is not finishing this season. If this coaching staff wants to keep their job, they are not starting Sam Darnold the entire year. So I think Matt Corral to win Rookie of the Year as a super, super, super long shot is not crazy. Like, if we get through September and it's Matt Corral under center, would anyone be surprised? I don't think so. So, yeah, I mean, we're both in on the under on their win total when it was at 6. I think Sam Darnold's days are numbered there, obviously, like you said. I can't believe he said his mom doesn't believe in him anymore. And so, yes, I think Matt Corral does make starts for this team for sure this year.
I don't mind at 5.5 on FanDuel. Like, I think that with a fourth place schedule, there's enough there to get to 6 wins. So I don't think that's a terrible bet, but I don't think you can go anywhere else here. I hope Matt Corral starts. I hope that this is an offense that we care about. You know, they have some fun pieces, CMC, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Terrace Marshall Jr.
Oh, yeah. Breakout coming, baby.
God, no, actually, like, I have him on my dynasty teams, but I just want to tell you people, his yards per route run were so low that you can't return from that. No player, no wide receiver drafted in the first 3 rounds has ever returned to anything relevant from the yards per route run that low. It was like 0.54. So, rest in peace.
Hey, he got some cardio in out there last year. Good for him.
All right, the Falcons. I looked at their schedule. It's not pretty. Winnable games. All right, so their win total was at 5.5. I took the under 5.5, and the entire city of Atlanta can probably hate me for it, but it got hammered, so there we go. But winnable games are Carolina, New Orleans, Chicago, and maybe Pittsburgh at home, and then on the road, maybe at Carolina, maybe at Seattle, maybe at Washington. So I think they have 7 games that are even winnable. And then that would lead me to say, like, hey, you know, 5 wins, easy. So, anyway, any other thoughts on this? I know that was you kind of easy to take.
Yeah, not much to add here. It's just, it's not going to be good. So, yeah, under was definitely the play. I guess the only question is, it's at 5 right now. Do you still think there's value on under 5?
I think you could take it. It's minus 140. So, you know, FanDuel has him at 4.5, which I don't think I could take that any further. There's just nothing on the horizon here that you can just say you can bank on. Like, if you want to go Drake London win Rookie of the Year, sure. But you can't really. I mean, I was going through scenarios about Marcus Mariota, and there weren't a ton of good ones.
Yeah, it's going to get ugly.
All right, let's go to the final division, NFC West. You know, I would say one of the more competitive divisions. We had 3 teams make the playoffs this past year. Seattle has been a stalwart. That is questionable with Drew Lock. We'll talk about that. The Rams, Super Bowl champions, now at a place where they're expected to be one of the best teams in the league. Their win total is at 10.5. This is a stay away. Their road schedule, I walked through it, was just brutal. And you're really having to say that this team can't have any, you know, major injuries, anything else. Like, there's just so many different paths where this team was like, is Allen Robinson everything we want him to be? There's so many different paths for that. So, in your opinion, how are you handling the Rams?
This is going to be very boring, but I'm just staying away. Like you said, their schedule is brutal, but this team is so loaded that, you know, you're not going to fade them necessarily at their win total or to win the division or anything like that. So, yeah, for me, we can keep it, you know, short and sweet. You can't touch them in the Super Bowl market because teams just don't repeat, and they're a good team, so you're not going to take the under on their win total. So, for me, just a no bet.
Yeah, I mean, at plus 120 to win the division, if you just think they are head and shoulders just better than everyone else in the division, get it. But I also can see those odds getting better where you get to, you know, plus 300 and a couple of weeks into the season. So keep an eye on that one. Let's talk about the 49ers. You and I were pretty hot and heavy about Trey Lance this past year. I'm just going to admit, I need to admit to the people, I am still biased about Trey Lance, and I am willing to take him at QB 13. If I'm stacking, and I know I'm stacking with George Kittle, you know I am, in best ball. But this is a team that got hot at the right time this past year, but we just still fully don't know what they are. So with their win total on DK Sportsbook, it's at 10 wins. On FanDuel, it's at 9.5. Are you interested in either of those?
I am not interested on the 9.5. If I'm forced to choose, I would just lean under because it feels like a team last year that just had so much go right as far as efficiency. And there's a lot of question marks. You know, is it Jimmy Garoppolo? Is it Trey Lance? Like, if it's Jimmy G, we know he can play good enough football to win football games. I mean, look at his career as a starter. That's all he does. So it feels scary to take an under. But then, like, you look at Trey Lance, we don't even know what he could be. He could be horrific in the NFL. We just haven't seen enough to know. So the bottom could fall out pretty quick. At the same time, you could tell yourself a story where his ceiling is so much higher than Jimmy G that this team could win 12 games and you wouldn't be surprised. So there's just a lot going on for me. I think largely it's just a stay away.
How do you feel, quick temperature check, about Lance in best ball?
I think his ADP is about right. Like, I think there are definitely paths to him beating his ADP just because we know he has the ability to run and run close to the goal line for rushing scores. If what happened last year happens again, it is a possible chance to stay away if he gets steamed up to quarterback 9 off the board or whatever he was last year. But I think where he's at right now, it feels right.
Yeah, I think there's pieces with this team, whether it's Ayuk, who nobody wants to touch. I obviously love Kittle. There's just pieces in here that I think you can stack with him. So, yeah, I'm still on the Lance train, and maybe I'll get off it, but Mike and I talk about it almost every single day. We're going to believe until we go down with the Flames.
Oh, yeah. Now is not the time to back out.
No, not at all. Next team, so we have two more teams here, is the Arizona Cardinals, who... So, this is awkward.
And Kyle just got fired.
Let me just say this. I try to see through Cardinals talk here, you know, and I think that they do a pretty good job of not being biased. But, man, this is my strongest take for a win total this year in terms of this is what I placed the most amount of money. This is the one that I was willing to lay the most amount of juice. I got it at minus 160. I took the Cardinals at under 9.5 wins. And it felt very, very good. So I did that on FanDuel. On DraftKings, the line was at 9 and went down to 8.5. So that made me feel even better that there are two major sports books and they're both moving in a direction where it's screaming under. And when I look at this team's schedule, their home schedule. Let me read you some of these home games. You ready? So in division, they're playing the Rams, 49ers, and Seahawks. Okay, we'll talk about Seahawks in a second. They also play the Chiefs and Chargers. Ouch. Their second place games at home, Patriots, Eagles, and their other two home games are against the Saints and the Buccaneers. It's totally possible that this team gets 1-2 wins at home. Like that. Like, I think that's totally in the realm of possibilities. Let's say that they just go, I don't know, 4-4, 4-5. Then there's an uphill battle for them on the road to go. So this team is, I think, I got this before the Hopkins news as well. So it's moved in direction since Hopkins where it's not in a great spot the first six games. But what are your thoughts? Because I'm pretty steamed and I might be packing my bags and going back to Atlanta soon.
Yes, as soon as this show is produced, Kyle is absolutely unemployed. So if anyone's out there looking for a DFS host, Kyle is currently on the market. No, I'm with you, man. It makes sense. I think what we saw last year down the stretch was that this team largely proved to be fraudulent. Seems like a very mean word to use, but not as good as what their record was. And I think we really saw that come out down the stretch. And obviously, I know Hopkins was in and out of the lineup with injury and things like that. But there's also other things that you just see that are not good. Like, you don't feel confident in Cliff Kingsbury's decision making or the transaction this team is making in bringing back AJ Green or drafting Rondale Moore to not really play. Like, there's just things that are happening that you're like, that doesn't feel great. And then you add in this brutal home schedule and what's going on. I think I'm with you, man. Under is the play here for sure.
Yeah, I wish I... You've seen me do this a couple of times, but when I feel super strong about a bet, I always ask you. You're kind of like my check. Should I bet this again?
the old Borgnoni double dip.
Yeah, you know, it was the double dip with the sauce. It's the Sauce Gardner top five.
Oh yeah.
So maybe that's my thing. Is when I feel super strong, I come back and I say, "Am I going to double down on this?" And with Sauce Gardner, it worked. I'm going to give myself a little bit more room to get some perspective, but walk through the Cardinals schedule if you want to. And if you can get to 10 wins, I will be impressed. In my scheduled adjusted projections, I had them at 8 wins. And so when I saw the 9.5, I said, this is an easy first bet. And then when the line moved even further, it felt really good. So Cardinals under right now, you can still get that if you want on FanDuel at 9.5. Let's go and finish with the Seahawks. So we're looking at a team that is completely different than the way that we viewed them the last decade. My question is, we know that we're down on Drew Lock. We totally understand that the public's about it. How bad is he going to be? Because the line has moved from, you know, what it was at 6 to now 5.5. Is there still value? Are you still going to hammer the under? Like, is this a team that's 4 or 5 wins?
I mean, if you got it at 6, you're not going to do it again, I don't think. If you're looking to jump in and fade a bad team, then I think there's definitely value on under 5.5. If you can get it at plus money, so make sure you shop around. I would not lay juice with this, but if you can get plus money under 5.5, I mean, look, it's going to be bad. Like, this is a team that has tried to run the ball and have Russell Wilson save them on 3rd and 8. And is Drew Lock going to do that consistently enough? I have serious concerns about that as well. The defense still looks to be questionable. It's just bad, man. So yes, it's going to be bad. How bad is it going to be? That's the real question. I think under at plus money is very much in play. If you got it at 6, you should be doing cartwheels.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. This is our final team. Because last year, the Seahawks were 7-10, but their win expectation was 9.3. And this was a season where they didn't have Russell Wilson for a stretch. They had Geno Smith. But they have a fourth-place schedule. Let's remind ourselves. They play teams such as the Giants, Jets, and Lions. Those are three teams that we would love to play. Two of those are at home. And when we're not counting their divisional games, which are obviously going to be tough, they have other winnable games against Atlanta, Carolina, and Las Vegas. So I think that there's a better floor than we realize. And I think Drew Lock is somebody that, you know, I made the joke to you the other day, like, who knows, 2 years from now, he could be handing out his own mixtapes at the mall. Like, that's where we could be talking about this guy.
But, I will say, I am excited to watch the rapping on the sideline this year. I'm in on that for sure.
Do you think Pete Carroll's really, I mean, at his age, do you think that he has, you know, some thoughts on rap?
Dude, Pete Carroll's woke, man. He showed up to get DK Metcalf at the combine shirtless. So he's in, man. He's in.
Dude, oldest coach in the league, but you wouldn't know it in terms of, he's still, I respect Pete Carroll. I respect him as a coach. Now, his methods of establishing the run are probably not our favorite. And I feel kind of sad for Tyler Lockett. I know you love Tyler Lockett. You always have loved him. Are you kind of soured on him?
Yes. I am very worried about Tyler Lockett. I was actually looking at some stuff for the UDK, and his cap hit over the next couple of years is obscene for how much he counts against the cap. And yeah, really for Tyler Lockett, like, just to kind of get into a little bit of a player take here, I've always loved him because him and Russ, you could argue, had one of, if not the best, wide receiver quarterback connections in the NFL. And now with Drew Lock, it's just gone. So yeah, I'm very worried about Tyler Lockett's fantasy outlook.
If this line moves to 5, I would be interested in the over. I think that it's too low for, you know, the winning culture that it is. And yes, I think it's impossible to find somebody that loves Drew Lock. But will he be as bad as we think? Maybe. Maybe he will be worse. There's an outcome.
He might be.
You know, going through the spreadsheets, it just says, will he be bad? He could be worse. He could be even worse.
I have a question. Which quarterback wins more games this year, Sam Darnold or Drew Lock?
Drew Lock. Drew Lock.
That was an easy decision for you.
Yeah, I think that they've maneuvered to at least say that he can be their quarterback. It's the reason why is because I can actually see Carolina saying, like you said, saving our jobs, we're not starting this guy anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, that is a pretty easy decision then.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're also, you and I both are higher on Corral than I think most people, but we'll see how that goes. Next week, we'll be getting into best ball strategy. We'll be talking about some of our rankings, some of the early surprises we have before the Ultimate Draft Kit Plus comes out. Looking forward to fully getting to best ball, fully immersed, and we'll also be opening up some smaller contests for the DFS Pod listeners if you want to get in on that. Betts, why don't you tell the people what they need to do this weekend?
You need to do is mow your lawn, enjoy yourself, place a wager on Aaron Jones to win Offensive Player of the Year at plus 10,000 odds, and have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Fantasy Footballers DFS Podcast. Don't forget to visit us on the web at www.thefantasyfootballers.com.